Her Sports AAL Rugby Show, brought to you by Energia. Think of the possibilities.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Her Sports AAL Rugby Show, brought to you in association with Energia. Think of the possibilities. You can catch up on this episode and every episode in the series on YouTube and our social channels, or listen to the podcast on every podcast app. Get involved in the conversation with us at hashtag HerSportAIL.
So last week's winner of our Energy and Merch was Kelly O'Shea. So congrats, Kelly. And for this week's competition, we have a super prize on offer, courtesy of Energia. We have tickets to Friday night's final against with Railway against BlackRock, and also a €50 dinner voucher for before the match. So to be in your chance to win with this, all you have to do is comment below who you think will win Friday night's final.
So we have our two teams in the final for this Friday. Railway Union will take on BlackRock. Hannah, this is the week it's all been leading up to, but before we get into the final, take us back to the semi-finals. The game that you said was going to be one of the games of the season, Railway against Belvo. What did you make of it?
Yeah, look, it was a cracking match. And, you know, considering the conditions we had last Saturday, there was some torrential rain. The quality of rugby that was played was phenomenal, and really a credit to both squads to, you know, put themselves in a position. But yeah, unfortunately, Railway, you know, got the better of my team, Old Belvedere. But, you know, it didn't really all go Railway's way. And I'm sure, you know, at halftime they were trying to figure out what went wrong for them, because Belvo took a huge lead into the start of the game. They got the first couple of tries on the board. And, you know, that wouldn't have been the way Railway would have wanted to start that game. You know, coming in as defending champs, they would have really wanted to assert their dominance. And they kind of got caught a little bit on the hop. And Belvo had obviously done their homework and really started to catch Railway out with some clever set-piece moves. Particularly their first try was a lovely, clever and smart kind of piece of play by the Belvo hooker, scored by Alice O'Dowd. They just went short on Railway's line-out. And Railway, with all their experience, they have Aoife and Sonia McDermott in the second row, Aoife being obviously an established Irish international. Belvo knew that the line-out was going to be really strong and obviously didn't want to target anywhere where she might get a steal. And so they kind of caught Railway napping a little bit on the 5 metre and scored a beautiful try from there. And that seemed to give them a bit of confidence, I suppose. And from another set piece off a scrum, Elise O'Byrne-White scored a beautiful try down the wing, leaving the likes of Molly Scuffle-McCabe and Amy Clark in her wake. And again, kind of preying on Railway's weaknesses, Katie Whelan caught them napping a little bit around the ruck and had a beautiful snipe from nine to score a try. And Railway probably weren't expecting that at all, and a really, really slow start from there. But they managed to score a couple of tries just before halftime, and I suppose that's what champions do and the best teams do, and kind of drag themselves back into this contest. And they were able to use all their experience in the second half and some resolute defending to get over the line. And they won this game fairly handily in the end, with the final score being 34-19. But, you know, it was looking really, really promising for Old Belvedere. But, yeah, Railway managed to pip them on the end of the line. And their big-name players started to stand out. You know, Lindsay Peake got two tries, Aoife Doyle, Molly Scuffle-McCabe got a beautiful try from a crossfield kick from another former international, Nikki Cahy. Like, and I suppose, you know, Old Belvedere probably didn't have the strength and depth that Railway did. And, you know, to be able to call on 10 Irish internationals and to have the likes of Stephanie Carroll, who's a huge speedster, off the bench for Railway, that was a massive boost for them. But, you know, if I was BlackRock and looking over that footage, I'd be definitely spotting a couple of weaknesses in that Railway team.
So do you think then Old Belvo will be happy with that third place finish, or will they be disappointed?
No, absolutely. Look, they didn't come out to finish third. They came out in that semi-final all guns blazing, hoping to get to a final. So they'll absolutely be disappointed with that, you know. And finishing third this year is one place better than last year, but they'd absolutely be disappointed. They wanted to show their mettle and their worth, and particularly after starting the season so strongly the way they did and leading that table for so long, you know, they would have had aspirations for not only getting to the final, but for winning this. They just came up against a really, really well-organised Railway defence. And, you know, even though they started really well and the first kind of 30 minutes went excellently for them, they couldn't really keep their composure and their discipline long enough to see out the game, which is unfortunate. But they can absolutely be proud of what they've done and the performance they put in the semi-final. Like, they gave it their all, and just unfortunately wasn't good enough on the day.
And their season obviously has come to an end now, but you even said it yourself, they did have a good season when their matches were won. What players stood out for you this year, and who would you be looking forward to seeing again next season?
Yeah, look, obviously I've mentioned her a couple of times, probably every week so far, but just been so impressed by Dana O'Brien at 10 and the quality she shows for such a young player. She's a real leader in that team. You know, she's second highest leading point scorer this year, you know, and not only has she been so reliable for All Belvedere with the boot, you know, and kicking conversions and penalties when needed. She scored a couple of tries herself, but she's really, I suppose, set up the way that this All Belvedere team play, and she's really been that link player that they needed between their forwards and their backs. And you know, her alongside Dervnik Avard, who didn't play last year, she's been a revelation for All Belvedere, particularly at the number eight position. She's a player who can do it all. You know, she's quick, she's mobile, she's great footwork, but she's also not afraid to stick her head in and get the turnovers and make the hard yards. And you know, she also has been a super leader. She ended up captaining All Belvedere for the last couple of games. And once again, you know, at the weekend, she was one of the girls that was really kind of dragging that All Belvedere team around and leading the fight. And she had a super break in the second half that unfortunately she couldn't make the try line, and Belvo couldn't convert into points. But wouldn't be surprised to see her get a call up now into the 15 squad in the Six Nations, because I think she's been really and truly excellent.
So Belvo then there with their third place finish, obviously won over by Railway Union. What can we expect to see from them on Friday? What sort of rugby will they bring?
Well, look, Railway obviously know Blackrock very well, having met last year, and then they met a couple of times this year. And Railway, I think, will be seething from that round eight defeat, I think it was, to Blackrock a couple of weeks ago. You know, they won't have been happy to lose that game. And I think they'll, or at least I hope they'll be looking at some of the mistakes they would have made against Old Belvedere and trying to fix those.
What mistakes were they?
Just that, like I said, that set piece stuff where they weren't quite ready for all options and got caught with that quick line out scrum. Like, they'll be very much aware that Blackrock will have seen that on the tape and will be looking out for that and making sure that that's not an option this weekend. You know, they'll be looking to shore up their defence a little bit and get a much better start, because, you know, you can't give teams a head start like that in too many games, because while this one worked out for Railway this weekend, you know, Blackrock might let them back into the game, and you can't be giving them a head start if you want to get a hold in the game. I'm hoping conditions will be a little bit better this weekend so we can really see some nice fast-flowing rugby, because Railway like to play with tempo. Elsa Hughes at 9 really loves a pick and go and a little snipe here and there and playing quick ball, you know, and getting her speedy backs on the ball. But you know, it'll be an interesting one, because I do think Blackrock will try and slow down the rooks a little bit. So a big thing for me this weekend will be who can keep their discipline the most and whose defence will hold up.
And before we get into Blackrock, who obviously haven't lost a game this season, we'll just take a quick look back at the highlights from Railway Union's match.
So yeah, just speaking of Ailsa, I suppose, and Ailsa Hughes here, like, Railway scrum really, really dominant here, and we're just going to see what leads to the Aoife Doyle try. But as I mentioned, Ailsa Hughes is one to just always try and snipe and keep defences guessing. And you see Railway's experience here, huge carry there from Aoife McDermott, herself trying to force her way back into kind of the Irish setup and get some more caps to her belt. But we see a lovely tip-on pass here from Lindsay Peach, just trying to change the direction of the defence. And they, again, experience of Ailsa changing the direction of attack, so moving back inside towards the middle of the field and getting their big forwards on the ball. And they're moving this ball not only with a bit of tempo, but with width as well. And Old Belvedere are taking too many people to, you know, to bring the ball carrier to ground, and they're getting massively stretched. And Railway spot that there is a huge disconnect from Old Belvedere and that they're not working hard enough from the blind side to fold open. And it leaves a great opportunity for Nikki Cahy to move the ball wide to Aoife Doyle, who, you know, is known for her excellent footwork, and bamboozles poor Claire Gorman here and has managed to score that try fairly easily. And just kind of shows the experience that Railway have, and that they've enough players to know exactly what's going on and how to get the try and how to get the job done.
So we saw their highlights from the Railway Union match through to the final this Friday in Energia Park. They'll be coming up against Blackrock, and I caught up with Dara Frawley from the Club Scene podcast to discuss Blackrock's semi-final. I started by asking him what the conditions of the game were like last Saturday.
Well, funnily enough, Jessica, I was on commentary with Emer Constantine, and we both checked our trusty weather apps, and it said there was going to be no rain. So for about the first 40 minutes, it was about 2 or 3 degrees, perfect conditions, the 40 minutes prior to kickoff, and then the heavens absolutely opened. So a game for the purists, and fair play to the Blackrock supporters and the travelling UL Bow supporters. They braved the elements. We were delighted to be indoors in the wonderful surroundings of Blackrock, but really, really, really difficult conditions. You mightn't have seen it on the stream, but both teams did very well to play the rugby they did, considering the conditions on the day, yeah.
And as you said there, like in that first half, both teams' defence, there was no scores on the board. Why do you think that was? How did they manage to keep each other off?
Yeah, it was definitely a game for the purists in the first half. There wasn't much running rugby, but I think it's important to note, Jessica, that Blackrock did beat UL Bow 63 points to 7 earlier on in the league standing. So I think I spoke to Neve Briggs in the pre-game, and they said that they had a big point to prove, and they knew that they needed to get out of the traps early. So I think they stifled a lot of what Blackrock were trying to do. Blackrock tried to play with a lot of wit. It's in Ben Martin's DNA. He's a fantastic coach, and he has the armory to do it with the Blackrock players. But I think a lot of credit needs to go to Bow, certainly in the opening 10 to 15 minutes. They really got off the line well. They contested the breakdowns well. The scrum, they really had Blackrock under pressure. But at the same time, Blackrock then grew into the game. They did cancel out Bows at the set piece at the line out. It's funny, you normally never see that. Mm-hmm. One team in the ascendancy in the scrum, another team in the ascendancy in the line out. But I think nerves probably played a bit of a part as well. I know we spoke about the conditions, but I think both teams knew there was a lot on the line because the loser was going home. And definitely one for the purists. The first, not many chances in the first 40 minutes, but a real physical encounter with the two packs going toe-to-toe.
And Blackrock obviously came into the game as favourites to win. Do you think they were maybe a bit complacent in that first half?
No, I don't think there was any complacency there. I saw the leaders, the Hannah O'Connors speaking in the huddle before the game, and it was very much process driven, that they just needed to stick to what they were doing. But I think, again, it's important to note for anybody who hasn't followed the league, that these have been the top four teams. Well, maybe with Railway, Belvo and Blackrock have definitely been the three really, really they've been the standard setters, I think is the easy thing to say. And it's not disrespective of the other teams, but there is that little bit of a gap. I know that the games that Blackrock did play, they were 8 from 8 in the league on the way there. Bows 5 out of 6 on the way into the game. Blackrock definitely didn't take Bows for granted. And you saw that early on. There was respect between the players if there was a big collision. I know I've name checked already. Hannah O'Connor and Chloe Pierce, 2 number 8s, two of the most prominent players on the pitch. They absolutely hammered the life and soul out of each other on and off the ball, but they were very respectful of each other. So, no, I'd rule out any complacency from Blackrock or Ryder's side before or during the game.
And then what changed going into the second half when we started to get those tries?
I think the easiest thing to look at is as games go on, you're going to see teams get more fatigued. It happens across all codes and sports. Normally, when you get to 55, 60 minutes in a game, you're going to see changes coming in. You know, players not being at the pinnacle of performance, if you will. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, Maeve Dealey got an early penalty in the second half. Nicole Cronin tagged on. And then, funnily enough, Maeve Dealey scores a try and then Nicole Cronin scores a try. So the game opened up a little bit. I think in the first half, speaking to Michelle Claffey afterwards, it was very evident that a lot of their passes in the 15-metre channels in width didn't really stick. And that was kind of giving Bows a lot of confidence to know that their defence was a little bit on top. But in the second half, those passes did stick when Blackrock managed to get wide and Maeve Dealey scores in the corner. It becomes 8-3. And then at the same time, Nicole Cronin, off a completely unstructured play, she was brilliant all day, scores a try to make it 8-all. But I just think Blackrock's bench were that little bit stronger and it did allow them. And I think particularly where they were last year, Jessica, having lost the final to Railway, they just had that little bit more experience in knockout rugby and the knockout phase of winning the semi-final last year and getting to the final and being 8 from 8, that the championship minutes, I know it's a bit cliched, but that's probably what stood to them. And ultimately, they took their chances when they rose.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned yourself there, UL Bows came up against Blackrock before and the scoreline, the difference was a lot bigger than it was last Saturday. So who from UL Bowes, you mentioned Nicole Cronin there, obviously she's been standout player all season really, but who from Bowes stood out to you in the game?
Yeah, look, I think Myrna Wall at nine was outstanding. Chloe Pierce in the back row, she came back from a shoulder injury. She was out for the last 7 weeks. It's just a testament to the player she is, how good she was. Claude O'Halloran in the back row as well. Alana McInerney. Look, the list goes on. I think the most important thing to say, and speaking to Niamh Briggs, who's a fantastic coach, the group were very, very hurt after the 63-7 defeat earlier on in the league. And I think they had a point to prove. Niamh spoke about them being in bonus territory in the pre-match interview during the week. But I think there's enough there on the journey that they're on to show that in a year or two, they could potentially be where BlackRock are. And at the same time, BlackRock were where Bowes were 2 to 3 seasons before. And Ben Martin won't have any issue with saying that they're a little bit further down the line with their journey. And they had a couple of standout performers as well.
And then on the other side of that, like, as you said there, BlackRock, they just seem to have such depth to their squad. They've many internationals, provincial players. Who stood out on Saturday for you?
Maeve Dealey, I was incredibly impressed with. Michelle Flatley led from the front. You know, she scored a captain's try when she was needed. But the player really for me, there was two, Hannah O'Connor and Jackie Shields. You know, they were everything that BlackRock did with or without the ball, they were to the fore of. You know, you saw them at the breakdown with turnovers, carrying the ball, big, good defensive reads. Hannah O'Connor was totemic at the line out. Just really, really good. I don't like singling out players and individual performances. You will see anybody who watched that game knew that it was an entire 23-person effort to get BlackRock to the final this weekend. But I think Emer Considine gave player of the match to Jackie Shields. She must drop her down an old box of after eights or whatever it is. We didn't get the opportunity after the game. But Jackie Shields for me was incredibly impressive on the day for BlackRock.
And then they're obviously coming up against Railway Union, a repeat of last year's final. What can we expect to see from BlackRock? As you said yourself, they'll have a point to prove going into this.
Yeah, Ben Martin, no, won't be giving away any secrets. It's the two big noticeable factors for me, Jessica, for Friday night's final on TG Carr is the conditions that were played in on Saturday. There was a game played on the pitch before. The pitch was a little bit heavy. BlackRock's DNA is that they play really hard ball up front and they like to get to wit. With the game being an Energy Park and an AstroTurf, I think we're going to see an open and expansive game, but I think they're going to be extremely calculated in what they can do because they know, having played Railway last year, as well as in the league this year, they beat them in the league last year, they lost in the final, they beat them in the league this year, the final is to come. So they know where Railway are strong. They're going to really have to look after the ball when they have it. Territory and possession, I'm sounding cliched, but that's where they need to look after it. And when they get their chances in the 22 that they need to convert. So I think they're a year wiser than they were last year, but so are Railway. And I think BlackRock definitely have it in them if they perform very, very well. But to beat a Railway side who I firmly have as favourites, they're going to really need to be at near 100% for 80 plus minutes on Friday night.
And if you had to call it for Friday, who would be your winners?
I've covered Railway. I've seen Railway this season. I've seen BlackRock. They've got such quality players, and as you rightly pointed out and alluded to, there's so many internationals that are there. I think if everybody is fit, I have Railway as slight favourites. But in a knockout game and in a final, you never quite know. I mean, if you look at the opening 15 minutes of the UL Bowes game at the weekend in the semi final. UL Bowes coughed up possession 3 times in the 22. I don't think Railway will be as kind. I don't think that they'll... I think they'll be a lot sharper, and that's no disrespect to UL Bowes. But at the same time, I think BlackRock got a bit of a scare against Bowes and know that their performance... But this is what it's been built up to. They know that this has been since they sat in the changing room at the very stadium this time last year or Christmas time last year, yeah. They would have said that, you know, remember this moment, we want to be better and we want to be the ones with the silverware come 9 o'clock on Friday night. But at the same token, I've no doubt that Niamh Byrne and co with Railway are saying we want to do the double. So if you had to put a gun to my head, I'd say Railway are slight favourites, but it's going to be a cracking encounter on Friday night.
We heard there from Dara Frawley from the Club Scene podcast. He was, of course, commentating at that Blackrock game. He said the conditions there were really, really difficult. You could see that at the game on the live stream. This Friday, it'll be an Astro pitch, Energia Park. What difference does that make to these two teams?
I suppose biggest thing we see here is obviously players' footing. We'll know that obviously the ground isn't going to give way. You know, last weekend we had an awful lot of rain, and that can have huge difficulties for players maybe trying to get their footing, whether it's in a scrum or a line out or even just trying to make a tackle. You know, you lose your footwork and, players gone past you in that case. So that can have a massive impact on it. Hopefully the weather is meant to be a little bit drier, and so we should be able to see players moving the ball a little bit better and handling be a little bit easier for those. But just on Astro, tends to be that the ball can actually move a little bit quicker, particularly if it's kicked along the Astro turf. So I would expect to see a lot of territory and kicking for territory this weekend, particularly with the two tens that we have, in the likes of Maeve Dealey, Enya Breen and Nikki Caughey. So that should have a big impact on the backfield players in terms of their positioning and how they set up. So it should be a good game, and hopefully the conditions are dry and we see a really good skill set on show from the players.
And that Blackrock UL Bowes game, when we talked about it in the preview, you yourself had Blackrock as clear favourites, I suppose, and then yet there was no score in that first half. What do you think happened?
Yeah, and look, like, I'm very happy to admit my mistakes and put my hand up and say, do you know what, maybe I underestimated UL Bowes a little bit. I suppose their form at the start of the season had made me think, you know, that they weren't really up to the challenge, but fair play to them. They came into that semi-final as clear underdogs against, Blackrock, and I really thought that they wouldn't be too much of a challenge, but they came in going that they had nothing to lose, and they put up a fantastic first half of rugby, and they really were. They weren't just hanging on in the game. They had their own really good patches of attack, and they put it up to Blackrock, and they defended resolutely. And, you know, unfortunately, it didn't go their way, but they were very much in it until Michelle Claffey got that try in the second half. But credit to Nicole Cronin. I think she's made a massive difference since returning from her injury. But the likes of, you know, Chloe Pierce, Clodagh O'Halloran, Fiona Reedy, these are, you know, women who've been around, you know, the last couple of years and kind of been the backbone of UL Bowes, and they really stood up and fought hard. And, it's great to see that there was two games that had huge competition, you know, and there was no blowouts on either side. But, yeah, I definitely underestimated UL Bowes a little bit, and they showed that little bit of fight, and that's what you want to see, that passion and that desire and that whole, I don't really care who we're up against, we're going to go out there and give it what we have. And Blackrock had a little bit too much for them at the weekend, but I've no doubt Bowes will take a lot from that and come back next season stronger.
And we heard in that interview with Dara as well, he said he was talking to Captain Michelle Claffey, and she said, like, in that first half, Rock's passes just weren't sticking, and that was giving UL Bowes confidence. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, look, as we've mentioned, the weather did absolutely play its part on that. You know, we saw a lot of scrums from a lot of knock-ons, and you know, when you're not able to get your grip, you can't give a good quality pass, and that's going to stutter your attack a little bit, and it absolutely favours the defence who know that they can get a lot of line speed in and put in the tackles. But those tackles still have to be made at the end of the day, so you do have to give credit to UL Bowes for sticking the tackles and putting Rock to ground and putting them under that pressure. But looking at it on the other side, you know, that's part of sport, and Blackrock, you know, needed to adapt a little bit better to those conditions, maybe should have, you know, tightened up a little bit and made those passes a little bit easier for their players so that they could actually do something with it. So lessons to be learned for Blackrock coming into this Friday.
And how do you think they managed to bring it back in that second half? It seems like eerily similar to Railway, both of them in the first half being, I suppose you could maybe say, complacent, although the conditions, as you said, were a huge factor. What changed then in the second half of that Rock game?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, you know, you can never really tell if it's complacency or not. The players themselves will know that. I wouldn't like to label Blackrock as being complacent. You know, they'll have, I suppose, the hurt of last year's loss in the back of their mind, and they definitely wouldn't have taken UL Bowes for granted. You know, they just didn't get off to the start that they would have wanted. You know, they would have liked to get a score in early and, settle the nerves a little bit. They still have a lot of young players and a lot of players playing with them for the first time this season, but they just couldn't really click or get things to work for them. And as I said, that kind of breakdown in passing probably didn't help. Big turning point for them is the quality that they're able to bring off the bench. You know, so they already have the likes of Hannah O'Connor, Laura Feely, Enya Breen, Maeve Dealey, all starting, Maeve Liston. And then to be able to bring on, you know, not even by halftime, the likes of Dorothy Wall, Emma Hooban, they had on the bench, an Irish international, Anna Doyle, a former Sevens international. Like, to have that quality on the bench is absolutely going to be a game changer, and particularly Dorothy Wall, you know, last year or the year before was Ireland's Young Player of the Year. She's absolutely going to make a difference. And, you know, UL Bulls just didn't have the depth and the quality to be able to match that. And, you know, when you have international qualities that you're able to take, or international quality players that you're able to take off the bench, you know, that's always going to be something that has an impact, and BlackRock were able to use their experience and their star quality to get them over the line and get that all-important try by Michelle Claffey to win the game.
And you mentioned from Railway, we're likely to see the likes of Lindsay Peat, Alyssa Hughes stand up. Dara mentioned Hannah O'Connor, Jackie Shields, Michelle Claffey, Maeve Dealey, who we mentioned as well. Any names to add to that for BlackRock?
Isn't that incredible that you're able to name all those international star quality players and still miss out on players like Carmen Rodrera, who's been an absolute bright spark for Railway this year? You know, Molly Scuffle McCabe has also scored a beautiful try at the weekend. You know, she went on the tour to Japan for Ireland. She'd have aspirations for that. You know, and like, even speaking of this, we're going to have the likes of players, you know, that are from these two clubs but that won't be playing this weekend, the likes of Amy Lee Murphy-Crowe, who's currently leading the try scoring charts for Railway, but also Bavin Parsons for BlackRock, who won't be playing this weekend. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing what Carmen Rodrera can do this weekend for Railway, and she's already mentioned, but you know, Maeve Dealey's been a breakout star for BlackRock this week, but Enya Breen will have a lot to say at 10 as well.
And before we get into that all-important final prediction, we'll just take a quick look back at the conference plate semi-finals. So the first game, Galwegians and Setonians, you did have a call for a Galwegians win. Any surprise there with that game?
Yes and no. This game would have had a little bit of a bite to it. It was a repeat of last year's conference final, where Setonians actually won. So I'm sure Galwegians were coming into this kind of with that in the back of their minds, and ended up being a tight game, you know, 15 points to 10. But again, it's the experienced players that we see for Galwegians step up. Nicole Fowley not only scoring a try, but a conversion and a penalty too, and winning that game by 5 points, you know, that's a massive thing. Setonians, that'll be hard to take considering they won the conference plate last year and they would have loved to have been back in the final. But they've had an up and down season, and probably consistency hasn't been their forte, and I'm sure that that'll be something that they're looking to improve upon next year and really just try to get consistent performances across the board and really be in and competing at every game.
And then Wicklow and Ballincollig, we've discussed Wicklow at length this season, 46-12. Do you think they'll be delighted with that?
Absolutely. Why wouldn't they be? They have a chance of silverware in their second ever season. You know, they scored 8 tries at the weekend. They have some incredible young up-and-coming players, and we know that they get massive support anyway. So that game on Saturday, I guarantee you they'll have loads and loads of support up with them. And you know, it's great to see a club like that who, you know, are so very young in their existence actually being rewarded for some of the great rugby that they play, but also for all that background work that their volunteers do, that their underage structures, you know, have. And it's great to see, you know, I feel for Ballincollig. I think this could have been an opportunity for them to, you know, really revitalise themselves a little bit, considering they've been on the end of a couple of tough defeats. But looking at their form on paper, you know, they haven't been and they haven't played the best rugby this year, and despite the best efforts of the likes of Denise Redmond, you know, she scored a try at the weekend and converted her own try as well and trying to drag her team into it. Wicklow probably deserved this, looking at other results, and you know, I might be a bit biased, but I would love to go and see Wicklow win this just for the growth of the game and to show other clubs around Ireland that, you know, regardless of how young you are, that you can make those improvements fairly rapidly. And I think they deserve that little bit of reward. But regardless of what happens the weekend, I think Wicklow will be delighted with themselves to get to the final. And they really do deserve it. And they have some excellent players in the likes of, you know, the Roberts sisters. And Megan Parkinson's been around there a while and played with Leinster, and Evenee Drummond as well. It's great to see them get a little bit of recognition.
And if you had to put a score in it then for this Saturday against Galwegians, what would you do?
This will be a tough one because, as I said, Galwegians are probably the experienced team. They have a lot of players who've been playing around a long time. Orla Dixon, Mairead Coyne, you know, I mentioned Nicole Fowley, Mary Healy. Ursel Salmon, but I would love to see Wicklow win just for what it would mean for women's rugby, but I do think it'll be a tight game. I'm going to go for 24-22 to Wicklow.
So 24-22 to Wicklow is our prediction for the conference plate final. But this Friday night, of course, we have the Energy AIL final, what it's all been leading up to, a replay of last year's, which saw Railway come out on top. So a score prediction for this Friday night, what do you think?
Again, score predictions are really hard because obviously, you know, anything can happen in a match.
It's a guess.
But, this game, like, both teams are going to come at it with so many different angles. Railway going for three in a row, never seen before, unprecedented, trying to stamp themselves as one of the best club teams we've ever seen in Ireland. Whereas BlackRock, you know, they're the team coming into this unbeaten, top of the table. You know, they've already beaten Railway once this season, and they'll have the hurt, you know, from last year's final loss. And they, for me, they just undoubtedly have the star quality and the ability to actually beat Railway. And a lot of this will be kind of, do they have the mentality to get over that and to get over last year's defeat? And on the other side, that Railway probably have the experience of it. Again, I do think it'll be a high scoring and very tight game, similar to last year. I'm going to go 27-24 to BlackRock.
So we're calling it then as a BlackRock win for this Friday. Be sure to get your tickets now for Energy or Park. And thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Her Sport AIL Rugby Show. We'll be back with a review of the final. Keep involved with the conversation at hashtag HerSportAIL.
Her Sport AIL Rugby Show, brought to you by Energia. Think of the possibilities.